So I want to start out. I'm going to start out with the scripture first, Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And we're going to go back into something which I feel we're going to be focusing on for a few weeks. And it goes on. It says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age.'" Now I'm going to ask if you could put up that that PowerPoint picture for me, please, Kevin. I want to read something for you because I've got some jimmies in the house. All right, I want you to listen to this. The title is "No Card-Carrying Christians: Gym Membership versus Trainer." Have you ever noticed how many people sign up for a gym for the gym in January? The gym is full for about 2 weeks, then suddenly everyone disappears. They've got the membership card in their wallet, but no muscles to show for it. Now, there's a big difference between having a gym membership and actually having a trainer. A trainer gets in your face. "One more rep. Don't quit now. Come on, push it." You can't just stroll in, take a selfie in the mirror, and then leave. A trainer expects change. And here's the thing. The student never tells the trainer what to do. Imagine walking into the gym and saying, "Hey, coach, today I've decided we're only doing bicep curls, and then afterwards we're going to have a milkshake." He'd laugh you right out of the door. Why? Because he knows what it takes to get you strong. That's exactly how discipleship works. Jesus isn't looking for card-carrying members of his church. He's not taking orders from us. He's the master trainer. Our job is to show up, listen, follow his program, because he knows what it takes to make us strong in him. And this morning, I want to lay some foundations again for us around what it takes to be a disciple. And I'm going to touch on what it means to be discipled and why we are called to disciple. Because part of a fruitful church, we need to understand the importance of ourselves being discipled. That includes me. And the need to disciple one another. It's not a suggestion, it's a command that Jesus gave us, which we saw there in Matthew 18. And I want to encourage you, we actually all are disciples, if you think about it. Let's have a question. Who is in the gym and has a trainer? Raise your hands. There we go. All right. Who here has been to gym and has helped other people in the gym? Raise your hands. Okay, there we go. All right. Who here plays some kind of sport? Hockey, netball. Fantastic. You got a coach. There's someone that coaches the team. That makes you a disciple. In other words, you are a learner. You are being discipled by the coach to be effective in that team so that team can play to win. And every one of us, in some way, if you are a manager and you have influence over people's lives, you are able to disciple them. What are you doing? You're wanting them to be the better version of themselves in their area of influence. Every single one of us, to a certain point, is either a disciple or we're discipling someone else in our areas of influence. What we are talking about here now is discipling people around the things of God, that which has kingdom value. And that's what we want to focus on. So, the call to discipleship and discipling of others is vital for us. And I cannot emphasize this enough, the importance of us catching the heart of God, of us taking up the responsibility of being discipled and discipling others. And we're discipling others to walk in obedience. And we move from a place of being spectators to participators. It's very easy to be an armchair critic rather than somebody that says, "Hey, I'm pitching up. God is wanting me to operate in a particular way. That's why we see some of the people that are stepping up, whether it's singing a song over the congregation. You've got to hear God working through the person. But what are you doing? What are you bringing to the table? How do you want God to use you? God didn't call you to come and sit and warm a chair. He called you to be equipped and trained in the things of God so that when you leave this place, you can go and impact people in your areas of influence. That the gospel will advance through you and I. Close to 100 people, yeah. When we leave this place, if each one of you went and shared the gospel with one person this week, 100 people in this community, surrounding community, the city will be touched. You don't know where those people are going to fly to. You might be moving and ending up with somebody being touched in Joburg because of your influence. Or maybe somebody flies out of the country and shares the gospel with somebody on the way to Austria, to Europe, England, America. What is happening here, look beyond yourself. It's not just what you can get. What does God want to do in you, and what does he want to do through you? Amen? So the heart is that we participate with God. And when we are being participating with God and we are being discipled, we should bear fruit. We should bear fruit that is in keeping with repentance. We should bear fruit that represents that which Jesus represents. And we represent the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We deal with our sin. And you and I daily fall short. And we need to recognize that God has made it possible through Jesus for us to come repentant and humbly before him every day to ask him for forgiveness and mercy. And where you are struggling and you can't get victory, speak to your com group leader, speak to the deacons, speak to the elders. Don't try and carry this thing on your own. Jesus already said you can never bear fruit on your own. You have to abide in him. But God puts people in our path to help us in this journey. And so as disciples, the posture of our heart has got to be quite important here. And we've heard much about the posture of our heart this morning through the prophetic words. But I want to share my story on the posture of my heart of being a disciple. So recently, the previous Thursday, there's a group of us that have gone to the master's preaching class. And so what happened was I arrived there, and really I consider myself the Forrest Gump of ministry. Maybe for some it would seem a very belittling thing, but that's not my intention. I'm a guy who just kicks the ball downfield and I run after it and I keep going. I love Jesus, I love the church. But I walked in, and what was quite interesting, a number of churches where we had ministered to, some of the guys came to me and said, "Ants, what are you doing here?" Yeah, I was like, "What do you mean, what am I doing here?" They said, "Bro, like, what are you doing here? You don't need to be here." I said, "Big mistake. Actually, there's two reasons why I'm here. Number one, I'm here to learn." And it was like, "Ha, ha, ha, funny, funny one." No, I said, "Genuinely, I'm here to learn." I said, "The day that you get to a place that you don't think you can learn anything more, that's the day you pack it in." The second reason why I was there was to support my team that are there. Because we all want to be on the same page. And I want to see them flourish. Because we've got 5 guys over and above myself that are being equipped. And Andre and Gunter are already growing in that. We've got Rudy. And we've got Edward. And Matthew. These guys are guys that we want to stand with these guys. And when they get in the pulpit, I want to know that when they get there, man, they've got the backing of the family here. They're not here just filling a slot. These are future leaders, future ministers. They're leaders already, but who knows what God's going to do with them into the future. So having that posture says to me, I come with a heart of humility to say I can always learn something. God can always tweak something in me. If you are the arrived package, good time to step out of the deal. Amen. I hope you're catching my heart with this thing. So when we look at a disciple, the Greek word speaks of mathetes. And so I don't want to sound clever because I'm really not, but it basically refers to the following. You're a learner, a pupil, an apprentice. A disciple is one who follows Jesus. learns from him and imitates his way of life. In other words, you and I should become more like Jesus in our everyday lives, in the way that we live our lives, the way that we walk as husband and wife, single people, young people, and our little kids that are coming through. And if you are a senior citizen here, bless you for being here, because you know what? Some of our youngsters can learn what it means to plod and keep going. Keep going. And some of the younger generation, you're going to have to run a lot harder to keep up with some of the senior guys here. I want to honor Mari at the back there. Oh, you're such a sweetheart. I want to really just publicly honor you. No, really. I'm not going to embarrass you. She comes out of a Jehovah's Witness background. The Lord has moved powerfully over her life. And I want to tell you something. What has really stirred in my heart with her and what encourages me with her, through rain, shine, thunder, wind, she's there. Like many other people in this context. So please, if I haven't called your name out, we'd have too much time here. But let's receive the honor this morning. It's a beautiful thing when you see people that are committed to the things of Jesus. They're not committed to me. I didn't die on the cross for you. Jesus did. The leaders didn't die on the cross. Jesus did. We are just being faithful stewards of what God has entrusted to us. We want to point you all back to Jesus. And we want to say to you, please, man, will you run hard for Jesus? Make this journey worth your while. And when I say make it worth your while, we come totally surrendered. Your life is not your own when you gave your life to Jesus. He didn't put you on the sideline and say, cheer from the side. He said, I brought you onto the playing field. And I want your life to count. Luke 6, verses 40. A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. How are you guys doing in this area? And I want to tell you, we heard the testimonies of some of the leaders up here this morning. And it's beautiful to see a 6'4" man standing here weeping. And I want to thank you, Yehu, for your heart this morning. Because when people look at you, you're the kind of guy that we get scared of meeting in the dark alley. It's a beautiful thing to see a man standing up here crying, because what God has done in his heart, and Jesus showed emotion. Jesus wept over the church. He was without sin. We get into a place and God moves in our lives and he shows us our brokenness and our frailty, and it's weeping that comes from a place of realizing, I can't do this on my own. I need Jesus. That is what a disciple looks like. One who is vulnerable. One who is open and recognizes their brokenness before the Lord and before family. That we don't judge one another, we love one another, and we encourage one another, and sometimes, can I say, we have to discipline one another. But let there be more love and more encouragement. Amen? Is this making sense? So the goal of discipleship is spiritual maturity in Christ, and then leading to reproduction. And this is a good picture to have in the context of the church. We should be reproducing after ourselves. And it's a beautiful thing when we saw Robert and Ineke get up last week and everybody was cheering them on. And that, because they really took to heart literally what we were talking about. You know, let's increase the numbers in the church. And they went about their thing. And so, and we've got Aziz and Shanley coming. And it's just a beautiful thing of what God's doing. But the point is this, if each one of us left here today and got one person that didn't know Jesus, or one person that has fallen away from the church because they've been hurt and bent out of shape, and if each one of us reached a person and brought them in next week, which is what we should be doing according to Scripture, we will be double our size here. Am I pushing for numbers? No. No, because let me tell you why. If each one of you do that next week, and that's your challenge, each one of us reach one. The big issue is this. You can have 100 people walk through the doors. That means you've got to disciple that person that you've brought. You've got to help them become a learner of Jesus. And we need to shape up what we are doing so that we can be more effective for the kingdom of God. Are we looking more like Jesus? And what are we going to be passing on and teaching to those that we're bringing in? This is powerful. That's the heart of the gospel. I want to reiterate, God did not call you to be spectators. He's called you to be participators. And be humble. Be a learner. I haven't got it all waxed. We haven't got it all waxed. We're standing up here and we're going like, yo, what do we do with those words? I don't know. I think I'm going to just sing. What do we do? Andre saying, hey, we're not always going to get this thing right. Oh, thank you, Lord, for wisdom. Guys, we're not perfect. We're in this boat together. We're paddling this canoe together. Let's just make sure that we step up and say, Lord, you said one person took a step of faith and moved mountains. Lord, the second person took a step but didn't trust you. Lord, today I choose to live as person number one. I'm going to take a step. I'm going to trust you to bring me one person across my path who I can disciple. And Lord, I will be faithful with that. And even in my weakness and in my frailties, I will be faithful with that. Lord, will you help me in this area? Amen. Now I've got to land. Gosh, this is crazy. Lord. So we know about the following. We can't do this on our own. Acts 1 verses 8 says the following. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Can I say to you, with that scripture up there, you will receive power. We're going to pray this morning and say, Lord, fill me with your power that I can be a witness for you, that I can share Jesus, can share my testimony, share my life. Actually, Jesus, I want to share you with people because you have been so amazing to me. You can't do it in your own strength, but you've got to participate with God. All right? We can pray till the cows come home, but if you don't step into the arena and have a fat go, nothing is going to happen. Amen? All right. So let's take that scripture and apply it. We're going to trust the Lord to fill us just now. Secondly, 2 Timothy 2 verses 2 says, we're called to be faithful. Why? Because look at what the scripture says. Flee the evil desires of youth. It's verses 2, eh? Thank the Lord, I checked my scriptures. Let's just give him time there because I want to hit the scripture. Is this making sense? Is this helpful? Okay. Thanks, Kevin. I'll read it from you. Okay, it says, and the things you've heard from me, say in the presence of many. Say many. Witnesses. Okay, would you agree? There are many witnesses here. Okay, it says, entrust to reliable men. Say reliable men. Okay, in the context of the Bible, that includes you ladies. Okay, this is not a sexist thing. Entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. What are we looking at here? Here's a beautiful picture. You've been walking with us for a long time, some of you. Some of you are new. And you don't have to be walking for a long time for God to use you. But what's been happening is there's been a lot of equipping and a lot of preparing of your lives. And I feel like the Lord is wanting to say to you, you are in a space that you are able to teach one-on-ones. You might not always get the front moment here, but God can use you in the one-on-ones. Are you ready and prepared to teach the truths that we see in Scripture? So I'm going to jump here because we will not finish this today. And I will come back into this. But one of the things that I feel that we need to focus on is that as we have been called to teach, each one of us, Jesus spoke and he said that we need to teach the people to obey. And I'll come back to that next week around teaching and obeying. But it speaks of obeying the commands that Jesus gave us. So this is what stirred in my heart, and I think this is where I'll land with it this morning. What were the commands that Jesus was telling the disciples to teach at that given time? Thank you. Say that again. Beautiful. Let's do it again.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Beautiful. Do you want to know something interesting, Kirsten? John Piper, did an extract in a book. There's over 500 commands and certain commands that point to the fact that we are called to do certain things as disciples. We've hit one. So what I've done is I've drawn from John Piper in this particular area because I'm not that clever. And he says there are over 500 commands or implied commands in the four Gospels. It's one thing to put commandments in people's heads. It's another thing to change their hearts so that they will gladly obey. That's impossible for a human being to do. Only God can do that. Hence, we need the Holy Spirit to help us in this journey. So I, out of a list of about 25, 30 here, I've highlighted a few, and I'm just going to read them to you, and then we're going to land. But in order for us to be able to fulfill some of these commands, there's some very obvious things that need to take place. The first one is, he says, you must be born again. Doing any of this stuff without Jesus as your Lord and Savior is purely just works of the flesh. Okay? He says, come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden. Believe in me, the fountain of living water. Repent of all self-reliance and sin. Love me above all others as supremely satisfying. Listen to me. My words are life. Abide in me like a branch in a life-giving vine. Those first 7 points are the prelude to the others that we need to focus on. And I'm going to now read the others, and then we'll end. It says, take up your cross and follow me. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We've just heard that. Rejoice and leap for joy in the worst persecution. Very quickly, I had to share a story on Friday night. One of the challenges that I faced this week, I got a message from my mom out of nowhere and told me what a worthless son I am. That I don't represent Christ well. I'm not a good Christian. Now, let me tell you, receiving that, and that's been the history. The beautiful thing is, after doing this course, I realized actually how God had healed me, because normally I would mull those things over and I'd be wasted, and your heart would be to try and appease people. And the Lord reminded me, he says, that's a lie. That's a lie. Believe the truth that I've spoken of you. I have chosen you. And the Lord took me back, can you believe it, to John 15, verses 5, verses 8, and verses 16. He says, you can't do this on your own. He says, I've chosen you to glorify me. And he says, and I've chosen you, and you will bear much fruit through me. The point is, as disciples, we've got to come back. What are we choosing to believe? What God says about us? And then we've got to teach people that as well. The other one is this, always pray and do not lose heart. Do not be anxious about anything. The last few, don't hold any grudges. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love your enemies. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not on earth. What God has joined together, let no man separate. Render to Caesar things that are Caesar's. Give to God what is God's. And then the last one of that batch was, make disciples of all nations. I'm going to hang there. I'm sending out the list to the comm groups, to the leaders. And I'm going to send out all the stuff, and I've put scriptures next to it. So on Wednesday night, if you want to see what that list is, the comm group leaders will help you. I encourage you to be there. But I encourage you to be here next week, because we're going to carry on with part two. And we'll look at the teaching, the obedience, and then some practical stuff that can help us going forward.